Father God, thank you. Just a moment to pray again, just to say thank you. We're so privileged that we can just do this and to just be in your presence. And we take it for granted, but it's a gift that you give. Thank you for that. Thank you for the folks that give freely of their gifts and that lead us in worship and allow themselves to be these instruments, and you can just work through them. And we thank you that we are part of that. Thank you that we can be part of this small body, of your body in this world. And as we speak about that this morning, thank you for blessing us. Amen. As we sit here today, each one of us has a name. That's a given. Most of us, as we sit here, have an address. Now, for the people of Israel, that was true of their God, too. They had a name for God. They called him the God of Israel. In Hebrew, they had many names for him: Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai, El Elyon, El Nisi, El Roeh, El Shaddai, name it. They decided not to call him by any of those names because they were afraid that they would take his name in vain, so they just call him Hashem, which in Hebrew means the name. But they had a name for God, and they also had an address for God. If you asked them, where can I find God, they would turn around and point to the temple in Jerusalem and say, there's God. Because they had God in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain. Before the Babylonian exile, they had him in a gold box. And they could handle God in the box. And when the box was taken away, they had God in a room. And once a year, they would go talk to this God through the high priest. But in the rest of the time, God was there, and it's okay. God is in a building, and the building is there, and it's all fine. We've got him where we want him. We've got God sorted out, all fine and dandy. For about 1,000 years, that's where God lived. And then God moved. And Jesus told us about that. You remember the story in John chapter 4 when he met with a Samaritan woman at the well. And as they were sitting there, the woman said to him, so Rabbi, you Jewish people say that the place that we should worship God, God's address, is in Jerusalem, in the temple. But we Samaritans, we believe that God's address is here on Mount Gerizim. So which one of these two is God's address? And Jesus says, well, there comes a time, and it's quite close, that you will neither worship God in Jerusalem nor on the mountain, but you will worship God the way that God wants to be worshipped at his correct address, because you will worship God in truth, the way that God wants to be worshipped, and where, and in spirit, through God's Holy Spirit. And we know exactly when God moved, when it happened. All of us know exactly when. Matthew 27, 50, 51. The moment Jesus died and that curtain in the Holy of Holies, it just tore in two. That's the moment that God moved. God moved out of buildings. And God moved into the streets and into people. And if you were looking for God then, you would find God still today in the streets of Jerusalem. You'll find God in the little back alleys in Galilee and Nazareth. You'll find God in Vancouver, even in East Vancouver. You'll find him in the streets of Cambridge, Water Street, Ainslie Street, the bridges. Because that's what God's new address in this world is. God is not built into a building anymore. That moment that Jesus died on that cross, everything changed. And instead of finding God in a building, we find God in people. And in God's language, God's vocabulary, church is not a noun. Church is a verb. It's where God happens. And you find God in all of those people who can say, like Peter said, Jesus is my Lord. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. We're so privileged. We have a beautiful building. But God does not live in this place. That's for sure. God does not live in this place for an hour on a Sunday, or we kind of do an hour and 15, hour and a half. God does not live in this place for an hour and a half on a Sunday. God lives in us, my friends. This is the church, these bodies. This is where God moved. He got out of building places because people are not in buildings. They're outside in the world. Lives that need to be touched are not in this building today. They're outside in the world. And the work of the church is not to sit in a building and to congregate for an hour and a half. The work of the church is to be the hands and the feet and the eyes and the mouth and the ears of Jesus Christ so that they can be a living church. That the heavens can be opened and people can see. So to help us understand a little bit of what we are and what we should be, I'm going to take you back to that first church in Acts chapter 2. So the passage we're going to read, Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. It's just after Peter had preached and 3,000 people had given their lives to the Lord. And then we read about the first church. They, that's the believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and they had everything in common. And they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I want us to notice two things about the church, the body of Christ, from what we read here. And the first thing I want you to notice is that the place, the church is a place of servants. It's a place where we come to minister. It's a place where we serve one another. It's a place where we attend one another. Way back when I taught you a Greek word, diakonia. Or diakonos, the churches who have deacons, that's where their word deacon comes from, because it means servant. But it comes from Jesus Christ, because if you go read Paul, he says Jesus was the great diakonos of God, servant of God. Throughout the Old Testament, what is Jesus called? Evet Yahweh, the servant of God. And the first characteristic of the body of Christ of believers is that we, my friends, are all servants. How does that happen? It happens the moment you allow Jesus to come into your heart. Because the moment Jesus comes into your heart, something's going to happen to you. Well, three things. First thing that's going to happen, he's going to touch your heart and change your heart. Because the hearts that we have in our hearts, in our bodies, what do? They're selfish hearts. They beat for me and me alone. It's an I heart. It's a me heart. It's all about me. But the moment Jesus comes into your life, he takes that heart, takes it out, and puts in a brand new heart that starts beating with the heartbeat of heaven. And that heart sees people. That heart is a heart that says, forget about me. I'll be last. What about you? How can I care for you? How can I serve you? Where do we get that? Because we received Jesus' heart. And how did Jesus' heart look like? Was it all about me? Was it all about I? The heart of Jesus is a servant heart. So much that he served until that moment that he would die on a cross so that our hearts can be changed and we can be called to service in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't only touch my heart. A second thing happens. My hands change. Because most of our hands look like this. We like to hold on. We like to keep. We like to hoard. We like to make it mine. But the moment Jesus Christ touches the heart of the church, our hands change. And they open. And they become giving hands. And they become loving hands. And they become caring hands. And they become serving hands. How can I love you, Cornelia? How can I touch you with God's grace, Kimberly? How can I bring the healing and the care of the Lord into your life? How can I give of what God has given me so that your life can be changed? These hands that are clenched become hands that are open and loving and serving and caring. But there's a third thing that happens. When Jesus comes into the life of the church, us, your whole life changes. And everything you have and everything you are belongs to Him. And your life becomes a life of servitude. Let me give you an example. I think I might have used it before, but it's a good example. If you go to Belgium, a little place called Leuven. In Leuven, you'll find a grave for a man called Damien van Fuster, also sometimes called Father Damien. Damien had a brother called August, and August was a priest. And Damien, as he grew up, said, I'm going to be a priest like my brother. I want to do that. So he went and he studied, but the church decided he wasn't good enough and they didn't want to ordain him as a priest. But he had this calling to work for God, and he kept on praying. And 3 years of praying, his brother got a calling to go work on an island. And then something happened. His brother got so sick that he couldn't go work. And Damien went to the church and he says, ordain me. I would love to be a missionary to go work for God. And they ordained him. And he went and he worked on this island. But here's the thing. He chose to go work with a colony that was separated from the rest of the island because they were lepers. And Damien went working for the lepers until the day of his death, which was 49. That's how young he was, because he got leprosy. And he died of leprosy. It's told that at the last communion that he took with them, he stood and he said, this is the last time I'm going to serve this meal of the Lord for you, because I'm going to see my Lord. But it is joy that I do this, because I became a leper to the lepers to gain Jesus Christ. And when I die, I can die with joy, because I could serve my Lord Jesus. The first characteristic of the Church of Jesus Christ is that of being a servant. For that is the church in action. But it's not easy. God never says it's easy, and I never give you easy sermons. It's not easy. Here's the thing. The kingdom of God, the church of God, this world in which we live, where we want to serve, is an upside down world, because in this world in which we live, we always have to be first, and we have to be strong, and we have to be big. But the moment I become servant and be part of this wonderful body of Christ, all of that is turned upside down. So if I were to stand in line with the world, my choice would be not to stand first. But the choice of a servant is to stand right at the back in the last row, because maybe we remember that Jesus said something about the first and the last in the kingdom of God. Because that's how a servant works. They're never first. They will always serve, 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 serve. And if there's something left, it's theirs. And when you are a servant of the Lord, the best is left for last. When it comes to this world, we're taught that we need to be big and strong and we have to be the most successful. When I am a servant, I'm taught to be like, remember when Jesus measured? He said, you be to be like little children, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. I choose to be like the little ones. For that is a servant. In the kingdom of God, when I am a servant in the church of the Lord, there are weak and strong, but I choose to be one of the weak. Because in my weakness, the strength of the Lord can do what it needs to do. Because then it is Him doing the work and not me. Because I am just a little servant. And I can't do anything on my own. But when I know who I am, and when I know the one that I serve, then in my weakness, the strength of the Lord will do what the Lord wants it to do. Does that mean that the Church of Jesus Christ is a bunch of weaklings and we just let everyone walk over us? No. No. We serve an almighty God. Never afraid of that. But it is my choice to be last. It is my choice to be small. It is my choice to be weak, so the kingdom may be served. Look at the church. Look at the church when they did that here in Jerusalem. Did you see what happened? They looked at each other, and when someone needed, what did they do? They gave. They gave away so that their brothers and sisters could be served. Not so that they could stand and say, Lord, look at me. Am I not pretty cool? They didn't do that. Instead, they came together and with gentleness and kindness and grace, they ate and spent their lives together because that's what a servant does. Because when Jesus comes, my life changes, my everything changes, my gifts become His to use in this world. Let me end. We want to go eat that barbecue. Second mark of the Church of Jesus Christ that lives in a living relationship with God, in the presence of God, is that of fellowship. And you know the word fellowship. I've taught you the Greek word for that too, koinonia. And we know that so well, but that's the problem because we learn it so well and we know it so well and then we just don't do it. Because koinonia means actually something like partnership. We call it fellowship. That's the one that we always translate it with. But it's also partnering with. Becoming partners in Christ with each other. Walking with each other. Helping each other. So this is how it works. So in koinonia, I find that my brother Alexander is going through really difficult times and his life is hard. And I'm saying, blessed are you, my brother. May God take care of you. And I hope God looks after you. Good for you. See ya. And then I go visit with Hank. No. Koinonia means Alexander is going through a tough time and he can't handle this stuff on his own. And I go with Alexander and I say, give me your hand, my brother. And I'm going to come alongside you. And I'm going to walk with you as long as it takes until you can do this on your own again. And when we're done, brother, that's all cool. You're going to go on and then maybe then Hank needs. And I can go walk with Hank or maybe I need and Hank's going to come walk with me. Because that's what fellowship, that's what koinonia means. It's not just hanging around in church on a Sunday and we sing a few songs and we pray a prayer. We go home and say, man, that was a cool service. That's worthless. It goes right out the door. And outside the door is where this happens. Outside the door is where I need to pick up Susie and say, Susie, let's walk. I'm going to carry you, sis, until we can't walk, either of us anymore. And then we'll crawl together until we get to that point where we're both good and strong. Because that's what we do. Isn't that what they did? They looked at each other. And here's the cool thing. When I do that, and when I work with my brothers and sisters, and when I love, I don't do this out of a position of haughtiness, looking down and saying, well, oh, Scotty, I had to help you. Sorry, bud. It's actually from this position of my knees as a servant, because I'm still serving. And when I serve, I can bless, and I am blessed. That's how we do it. That's what Jesus did. You sat on the throne and had the highest name above all names, forgot all about that, and he became what? A servant to partner with us and to bless us and to have koinonia, fellowship with us. Because here's the thing. I'm not good at math. I'm really bad at math. But I do remember something. If you have a circle, And there's the center. All the points are little dots on that circle. They're all at the same distance from the center. I can still remember that from grade one or something. They taught that. So if Jesus is the center of all we do, because he is the center of our universe, of our lives, then all of us are at the same distance from Jesus Christ. But sometimes it happens that my brother or my sister, they struggle and they fall out a little bit. Fellowship, relationship means that I take them and I put them before me so that they can be a little closer to Jesus. I'm still on the dot, but I'm pushing them out so they can just be a little closer. That's what it means to have fellowship. It's to love so much that I can take myself back and I can put you there so you can receive Christ even more. The result. Did you see the result? Verse 47. And people were added to their numbers daily. But here's the important thing. Not because they filled the pews, for they were being saved. For that is the church. The church is to show Jesus Christ. The church is to live Jesus Christ. The church is to shine Jesus Christ. The church is to taste salt Jesus Christ. So that those who do not know will see and will know. And that is our work. To go out into this world and to be the verb church. To be his hands and his feet and his eyes and his ears and his mouth and his love. For church is a verb. Church happens. And we are the church. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer.